manage mixing drinks with dishes. It's the whole. All right. Well, so I wanted to do something a little bit different tonight. So I wanted to do a piece with you from Rav Kook. So even though we normally do Rabbi Nachman at this year, but Rav Kook happens to have a beautiful piece here regarding Hanukkah, which is just exceptionally special. And you know, just a little bit about Rav Kook. So Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kook was a very special individual. Rav Kook was a synthesis of everything that's beautiful in Yiddishkeit. He had an allegiance to Hasidus, but yet again he had an incredible also Avas Yisrael, which is a major tenet of Hasidus. And Rav Kook was one of the people who saw already, even obviously Rav Kook died before the founding of the State of Israel, but Rav Kook was one of those individuals who from the beginning understood that Eretz Yisrael, whatever happens in Eretz Yisrael, is mamash the eschalta de geula. It's the beginning of everything beautiful for Klal Yisrael. And he has a piece over here about Hanukkah that I think is just incredibly amazing. So let's look at it together. So it begins on the page that says Lamed Hay on top. So this is from the Sefer of Kook, Sefer Ein Ayah. So he writes over here the following. When the Chashmonaim ultimately overcame the Greeks, they looked around and they found only one little thing of oil, one little jug of oil that had the seal of the Kohen Gadol intact. And of course, as the Gemara says, there was only enough oil to remain lit for one day. A miracle occurred, and again, miracle occurred, and the little Pach Shemen remained lit for a total of 8 days. So look what Rav Kook writes. He says, Tumas Hashmanim, Hashchasas Hamidos Vahadeos, Sheba Lemachane Yisrael Misibas Hiskabros Hayvanim Mishultunam. So he atzar hayoser iyuma hanogaas ad nefesh uma. So Rav Kook says something amazing. He says, you know, for Klal Yisrael, the greatest tragedy, the greatest difficulty that we face is not when someone persecutes our guf, but rather, again, it's when someone tries to go ahead and be mashke, someone tries to destroy the midos and the deos of Klal Yisrael. You know, this is the famous, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, he says, speaks out the idea as to why is it that there's no din of Su'uda by Hanukkah. Right? There's a din of Su'uda by Purim, but there's no din of Su'uda by Hanukkah. Why not? So the Mishnah Berurah is very simply, because Purim, what did Haman want to do? Haman was lahashmid, laharog, ula'abed, iskola Yehudim. Remember, as far as Haman was concerned, Haman just wanted to just exterminate the Jewish people. He just wanted them physically gone. On the other hand, what happened on Hanukkah? The Greeks were happy to have us. The Greeks, the truth is, were not interested in the physical annihilation of Klal Yisrael. What the Greeks were interested in was the spiritual annihilation of Klal Yisrael. They wanted to go ahead and create a scenario where Klal Yisrael would simply cease to exist as an independent people, and we'd simply mold into the Ummah Muslim, into Greece, into Yavan, into everything else. So if Kook says, sometimes the greatest tragedy or the greatest danger is not the hashchasa of the guf, but it's hashchasa of the midos v'hadeos. It's when our ideologies, it's when our neshama is attacked. And he says, Zos hi amnam mimifla'os tamim deim, shimadeos hamis asfos min omek yisrod ha-Torah, achtos Hashem yisbarach, nifgeru mitigras o ruach yevanis. And he says, you know, one thing that we don't realize, because you know the Gemara doesn't tell the whole Hanukkah story, but when you look in the Medrash Hanukkah, you begin to see something amazing. You understand that the Greeks were very successful in that they were able to pull away droves and droves of Jews from the Torah, from the Derech of Yaakov, Saba, Kadisha, and they were able to lure them into an alien society. It's interesting, you know, the Sfas Emes has an interesting idea. The Sfas Emes writes that if you look at the Gemara says that after the Gemara describes the whole miracle of Hanukkah, it says, L'shana Acheres, in a subsequent year, they established Hanukkah as a yomtiv. So asks the Sfas Emes, why do they have to wait till a subsequent year? Meaning, why couldn't they just declare Hanukkah as a yomtiv right then and there? So what's the answer? So Sfas Emes says something amazing. Sfas Emes says, there was such rampant assimilation that to declare a new yomtiv would have been silly. The ranks of Klal Yisrael were so depleted, so profoundly depleted by the Greeks, that to make a new yomtiv, it's a joke. Rather, Sasema says the Chashmonaim understood we have to rebuild the ranks of Klal Yisrael, let's rebuild the nation, and then after we rebuild the nation, then we'll be able to declare a new yomtiv. We'll say, that's Hanukkah, says Rav Kook. Rav Kook says, you know, yes, we won the war. We won the war, and we had incredible, miraculous intervention. We had the Pach Shemen, But they both say, we won the war, but we lost so many battles. So many battles. So many neshamas were lost. You know, I don't want to get off topic, but if I were to get off topic, I would tell you that, you know, Rabbi Nachman, one of the other, I was deciding tonight, I hope I made the right choice. And, you know, I know there's Rabbi Nachman sharing. Rabbi Nachman is he's my Rebbe, he's all of our Rebbe. You know, the beautiful part is when you learn Torah from an Adam Gadol. So even though you're only learning from his Sefer, so on the Ruchni level, that person becomes your Rebbe. So when we learn Rabbi Nachman, you know, the truth is we have to refer to him as Maran. You know, he's I know Maran means different things to different people. I understand, right? So you could have more than one Maran, Baruch Hashem. But we'll say, you know, when you learn from a tzaddik, learn the words of a tzaddik, so that tzaddik becomes your Rebbe. So Rabbi Nachman has a whole piece over here that Chanukah is actually about how, the whole message of Chanukah, he posits, is about how you should interact with people who are not on the derech. Very interesting. How the Jew is supposed to relate to Jews who are off the derech, and sometimes even antagonistic towards Yiddishkeit. He understands that from the mahos of the essence of Chanukah. So let's go on. So again, so Rav Kook sets the stage and teaches us this idea that the great danger that we faced in Chanukah, and the great tragedy of Chanukah, was the fact that the Yevonim were successful in being metame the shmanim, the shemen. And again, Rav Kook understands that the shemen, what does oil mean? You ever wondered to yourself, out of all the things that were going on, so they defiled the oil. You'll excuse me, but who cares? Who cares? There's much bigger things. People are being killed, right? Exactly. They slaughtered pigs. They did all kinds of things so that they defiled the oil. You know, I mentioned that I had this chus to speak at the ATA today. So, you know, I spoke to the boys and I said, you know, there's a piece of the Chanukah story that people often overlook. People often overlook. And the part that they overlook is everyone speaks about the miracle of the shemen. But the truth is there's another piece besides the shemen, which is, you know, when the Chashmonaim came into the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't just the shemen that was a problem. It wasn't just the shemen was a problem. You know what else was a problem? Is that there was... Oh, you're not going to see one of you, like Michutz L'machana over here. Come, there's a seat over here. He didn't say anything yet. He can't be in the hearing just yet. So, so I was saying over to the boys that everybody focuses on the miracle of the Pach Shemen, but the truth is, you know, there's something much more profound. You know, when the Chashmonaim, and this, you have to think about this for just a moment, when the Chashmonaim came back into the Beis HaMikdash, so there was something much more critical than Shemen that they were missing. And it was the menorah. The menorah wasn't there. Right? Because remember, everything of value was taken already from the Beis HaMikdash. So the menorah was solid gold. The Greeks are going to leave it there. They took it out already. So the Gemara Menaseches Melachos says something amazing. You know what they did? They took their spears. They took their spears. They tied their spears together at the base. And they made a menorah out of their spears. That was the first Chanukah. That was the first Chanukah. It was a menorah fashioned from the spears that the Jewish army, that the Jewish soldiers went ahead and defeated the Greeks with. They brought those very spears and they made into menorah to kindle beautiful lights in the Beis HaMikdash. But we wonder to ourselves, and this is what really Rav Kook is driving at, is why all the preoccupation with the Pach Shemen? You know, it's very nice, a little bit of, you know, I often have this conversation with people where somebody will come to me. I have some people who like to talk to me a lot about Medrash. Because they don't think Medrash is supposed to be taken literally, and how could this be, how could that be? So, okay, there are different shitas on how you understand Medrash, but I always say to people like this, if you believe, I'll tell you, this just happened to me this past week. I was learning actually with Bar Mitzvah boy, helping him to prepare his pshetel, and he's in Parsha Shmos. So he's talking about by Bas Paro. So the Torah says, Vatishlach es amasa. So literally translated, so Bas Paro sent her maidservant to go ahead and fetch Moshe Rabbeinu from the baby in the basket from the Nile. So what does Rashi say? Rashi just quotes the Medrash. Hatishlach hasamasa. So Rashi says Yada, and Rashi quotes the Medrash that miraculously her hand extended. So this little boy, it was you know, it's sad because also unfortunately, we're raising cynical children. Mamash had to be very, very careful. No cynicism in the house, because if there's cynicism, kids pick that up, and it's one of the most destructive meters. Impossible. How could it be that her hand stretched out? I said, listen, little Yid, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days? Yes. Do you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the Yam Sof? Yes. Do you believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu fed 3.5 million people man for 40 years? Yes. So is this such a great chap that Bas Paros' arm extended? If you think about it, all the things that we believe, and there's a little medrash that, no, it can't be true. What Rav Cook is saying over here, and this is the underlying question, is, okay, very nice, oil remained lit, fantastic, incredible, so much emphasis, right? Is this really what we're focusing on at the end of the day? This is the most important aspect of this Yom Tov. So look what he writes. He says, Hine Kishem, it's in the underlined lines. He says, Hine Kishem Sha Kohen HaKlali Sheva Am Hashem Huchan Maholos Chuki Hashem Mishpatav. So listen to this beautiful idea Rav Cook says. He says, the Kohen HaKlali, which is, again, the regular, the Mamish, the Kohen, Sheba Am Hashem, he's one of the leaders of the Am Hashem, of the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Huchan Lohoros Chuki Hashem Mishpatav. His job is to instruct Klal Yisrael regarding the mitzvos. Kein Yesh Bechol Adam Yisrael Tzad Kehuna. So listen to what Rav Cook writes. He says, every single Jew has a Tzad Kehuna. Every single Jew has an element of Kehuna associated with him. Mipnesha Bechlalam because HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself calls us a mamlechas kohen, a nation of priests, a nation of kohanim. So every single Jew has a tzad kohen. You know, even again, the Rambam writes this. The Rambam writes that whoever wants to be part of Shevet Levi has the ability to do so. Not necessarily in a direct tribal sense, but Shevet Levi devotes their life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So anybody who wants to devote their life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you too could be a card-carrying member of Shevet Levi. So watch this. He says, so every single Jew has a tzad kohuna. He says, Hatishuka hapanimis, likdushas hachayim, veladas hatorah ve'alechas bedracha. Rav Cook's words are so sweet. But what does it mean to have a tzad kohuna? What does that mean? I have an element of kohuna about myself? That element of kohuna, he explains, is the inner desire for holiness in life, to know the Torah, to walk in its ways. He genuza ba'omek halev ha'yisraeli. What is a Kohen? A Kohen is someone who's Kaddish Lashem. A Kohen is someone, ultimately, again, who spends his life in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything about the Kohen is all about his God and his people. That's why, again, remember, in the Beis HaMikdash, so what does a Kohen do with his days? What does he do?
Service.
Right? So remember, again, how long is every single Kohen working in the Beis HaMikdash? Right? At most, you're getting 2 weeks. Right, maybe a little bit more because you also get regalim, right? And the Yom Tovim, everybody comes. But so what is he doing the rest of the time? He's preparing. He's learning. He's preparing. He's involved in all the time. He's doing chesed. So that's what the Kohen is. The Kohen is someone who spends his life ultimately, again, he has a teshuka happening. His words are so precious. He has an inner yearning for holiness in life, to know Torah, to walk in its ways. He genuza ba'omek halev ha'yisraeli. Ultimately, this tzad kehuna, this teshuka hapenimis likedushas hachayim, this inner desire, ultimately, again, for holiness in life, is something that is embedded in the heart of every Jew. Ukvar be'arnu be'azas Hashem, b'tu'udas ma'asr shenei necha l'baylim, shu'ba la'orer es yisod ha'kehuna ha'atzmit, hanem zeges b'nefesh kol adam Yisrael. See, Rav Cook says, and this is amazing, we're not going to spend too much time on this, but Rav Cook says, we know that in the order of tithes, right, Chumas and Maestros, so there's something called Maestros Sheni. So remember again, who eats Maestros Sheni? So the owner, I'm Yisrael, I separate out Maestros Sheni, what do I do with it? So my Maestros Rishon, right, I have to give to the Levi, Truma I give to the Kohen, what do I do with Maestros Sheni? I give to the Ani. Maestros Sheni, what do I do with it? Right, I eat it, except, what do I have to eat it? Yerushalayim. I have to take my Maestros. So, you ever wonder about this idea, like, what's the pshat? What's the pshat? Why is Baruch, why was he mitzavah us? And my, first of all, if it's mine, let me eat it wherever I want. And if it's not mine, let me give it away to someone. But it's mine, you have to eat in the Beis HaMikdash. I have to eat in the Yerushalayim. So if cooked, something means, you know what that's about? Maaser Sheni represents the tzad kahuna that every single person has. Each and every one of us has an element of kuna. That's why each and every one of us gets to eat meiser. Even if I'm not a Kohen, I'm not a Levi, I get to eat meiser. Why? Because even if I'm not a card-carrying member of Shevet Levi, I have a tzad kuhuna. I have an element of kuna about myself. And again, remember the definition of a tzad kuhuna, and these words are so important. Teshuka penimis likdushas hachayim. I have an inner yearning. for holiness in life. I want more out of life. I want more holiness. I want more Kedusha. I want more Dveikos. That's the Tzad Kuhn in me. V'hine HaKuhuna Bichlala Mispashet HaZadar HaChayim V'al Kol Merchav HaDeya HaTahora. Now remember again, the thing about Kuhuna is that it extends on all parts of life. V'al Kol Darchei HaChayim and V'al Kol Merchav HaDeya HaTahora Gam Hi Haisek Kvar Mukhenes L'Shalel Mikocho Shel Yavon. So says Rav Kook something amazing. So what did Yavon want to do? Yavon wanted to take away the Tzad Kuhuna. Yavon wanted to show the Jew, you're not unique, you're not special, you don't have a Tzad Kuhuna, you're just like the rest of us. You're just like the rest of us. If you can get the Jew to forget his Tzad Kuhuna, then you've essentially gotten the Jew to forget about his Kedusha. You've gotten him to forget his Teshuka HaPenimis LeKedusha Sachayim, the inner desire for some greater meaning in life. That's what Yavon wanted to do. Look what he writes. Aval od yoser amok belev shochin or haneshama Yisraelis. So listen to what Rav Kook says. As important as the Tzad Kuhuna is, the reality is you could lose your Tzad Kuhuna. You know, I'll say, if you think about this just a moment, like what happens with a coin? If a coin marries someone he's not allowed to marry, so what happens to him? What happens? So, nothing happens to him, but he's disqualified, right? So, I mean, he can't go ahead. Coin marries a grusha. Coin marries a divorced woman. He can't do avoda. He can't do anything. Meaning, he loses an aspect of his Kohanic identity, and offspring from that marriage are halal and don't possess kedushas kuhuna. So, you see this idea that even though we each possess a tzad kuhuna, you could lose your tzad kuhuna. You could. Things could happen that could cause you to lose that tzad kuhuna. But listen to what Rav Kook says. Ava od yoser amok belev shochin or haneshama Yisraelis. But there's something even deeper that resides in the light of the Jewish soul. Shesham gonos hakesher hapinimi shal ish Yisrael hamofia b'chol az b'chlala uma im ha'emuna ha'ikaris b'shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael. But says Rav Kook, there's something even deeper. And this is, you know, this is referred to in different ways in different literature. Some will call it the Nefesh HaPenimis, the Neshama HaPenimis, the Pindal Yid, whatever you want to call it. But there is this pocket of spirituality, says Rav Kook, that ultimately it's filling, it's infused with incredible basic emunas Hashem, love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, love of Klal Yisrael, love of Torah. V'haratzon ha'chazak v'haneratz sholi pari beis chayehem. And in that deep reservoir of holiness is included this desire to never lose my spirituality in totality. Me'emuna b'chlala. Za'olam ha'penimia Yisraeli. This is the inner world of the Jew. Shedugmaso besoch ha'klal. Get ready for this. Hu ha'koin godol ha'nichnas lifnai v'lifnim. L'sharis bakhodesh b'yom ha'kodesh ha'muvdol mikol iske chayim ha'gashmiim. So Rav Kook says something amazing. Get ready for this. He says, I told you before, says Rav Kook, that each of us has a tzad kuhuna. We each have an element of the kuhuna of the priesthood. And that tzad kuhuna is a teshuka, what was that lashon? A teshuka penimis l'kedusha sachayim, an inner desire for holiness in life. But you know, your tzad kuhuna could sometimes be taken. Yavon could get that. But there's something else. There's something deeper. There's a deeper pocket of holiness, a deeper nitzutz, a deeper spark. You know what that spark is like? That spark is not simply a tzad kuhuna. That spark is like the kedusha of the Kohen Gadol entering into the Kodesh HaKadoshim of Yom Kippur. I will say, now what's the image that Rav Kook is trying to paint over here? You know, it's interesting that the Kodesh HaKadoshim is always there. But yet what? It's virtually never accessible. But I know it's there. I know it's there. See, even though I can't access it, and even though I can't go there right now, let's say on days other than Yom Kippur, I know that presence of Kedusha exists. Even though I can't access it right now, I know that it's there. And again, once a year we get to access it to reinforce the fact that Kedusha is ours and it exists. He goes on. Listen to his wording over here. He says, that little spark of Kedusha, that's like the Kohen Gadol, that's like the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's even deeper than the Tzad Kuhuna. So that little pocket of Kedusha can never be touched. It doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do in life. It doesn't matter how much you mess up. It doesn't matter how many Yevanim there are that are surrounding you. That deep reservoir of Kiddusha, that cannot be touched. That cannot be tainted. Look what he says. What does he call, what does Rav Hook call this inner pocket of Kiddusha, this inner reservoir of holiness? Look what he calls it. Oso hapach hakatan shemunach bechosamo shal kohen gadol. So Rav Kook says, that what does Shalom Lechem do? Rav Kook says, so what is this? This is what he calls the pach hakatan, the small little jug that is there with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Yilo yuchlu ha-yivanim letamos. The Yevanim couldn't defile it. Lachar mechlal Yisrael kishurim pimpnimi ha'amukim Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Ze lo yuchlu kol ba'al lekoach zra. Mayim rabim lo yuchlu lechabos es ha'ava. Ve'naros lo yishtafu. So you hear this? You hear how magnificent this is? So Rav Kook says, do you want to know at the end of the day, a Jew possesses so much holiness. So yes, on the most basic level, there's a tzad kuhuna. Each of us possesses a tzad kuhuna. But there's something deeper, because your tzad kuhuna can be taken from you. But there's something deeper. There's this deeper reservoir of holiness that's yours no matter what, that the Yevanim can't take, that life can't take, that even the worst mistakes can't take. You know what that kiddusha is called, says Rav Kook? That kiddusha is called the pach shemen, hamunach b'chosamo shal kohen gadol. That's the deepest reservoir of the Jew's holiness. It's the little cruse of oil that has the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Everything else is tame. Everything else is pashut obliterated. Everything else is mamish ruined. Everything else is dirty. Everything else is terrible. But there's always that pach shemen hamunach b'chosamo shal Kohen Gadol. No matter how far we fall, there is always that little piece of kiddusha that is there. I must say, so what's the chab? The chab is, now that I know that kiddusha is there, what it means is I always have the ability to reignite myself. Because sometimes, you know, for many...
The pilot light is always on.
Exactly. Right, 100%. So that's a very good marshal. The pilot light is always on. I would say the idea is that sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, the lights of our menorahs have gone out long ago. Something we struggle with, that the lights sometimes are just extinguished. Sometimes they're extinguished because you didn't take care of our menorahs and we just didn't put enough oil in. You know, if you don't put enough oil in, you could wish and wish and wish. It's not oil, ain't gonna burn. Sometimes you just don't put in enough oil. Sometimes, you know what happens? There's a big wind that comes. Life circumstances come and they blow out the candles. I'm looking at that menorah. That's my menorah, that's my life. And I look at the menorah and it's sitting by the window. And I feel so sad and I feel so crushed because I know how beautiful that menorah used to be. I know how beautifully bright it used to burn. And now, it's pashut sitting there dormant. So it says, Rav Kook, here's the good news. You can always relight your menorah. But I lost my tzad kahuna. Yavan took my kuhuna a long time ago. That's fine. It happens. But you know what? You know what you do have, each every one of us has? Each of us has a pach shemen. Hamunach b'chosamo shal kohen gadol. We each have that little bit of potential that's still there, and it's untapped. It's pure, it's pristine, nothing's happened to it. It's perfectly intact. And all we have to do is pick it up, break the seal, pour it into the menorah, and ignite it. And amazingly enough, we could burn bright again. And now you begin to understand, according to Rav Kook, why Chazal placed so much emphasis, on the miracle of the Pach Shemen. Because after all, like we started this year, you know, we spoke about it a while ago, the idea that why put so much emphasis on the Pach Shemen? It's very nice, it's very interesting, it's beautiful. First of all, there was a Milchama, and God did many miracles, most of which we don't celebrate on a yearly basis. But why the Pach Shemen? And Rav Kook will say, because this is not just about a miracle of oil burning. This is the miracle of the human condition. This is the miracle that inspires us and reminds us that we're never down and out. Even if the menorah has been extinguished, I'll say we each have that beautiful pach shemen. We each have that little bit of untapped potential. That's munach b'chosamo shel kohen gadol. Even when all of the other oils have been defiled, the seals have been broken, they're poured out all over the place, that little pach shemen, munach b'chosamo shel kohen gadol, is still there. And the avodah of Chanukah, is to sift through all the broken canisters of oil, to find that one little intact pach shemen, to lift it up, to open it up, and to ignite our flame. We should be zochem, Meretz Hashem, over the course of the Yom Tov of Chanukah. This is the Avodah of Sinai Novos. I was telling, who did I work with Yossi, that Chanukah is a difficult Yom Tov. And it's a difficult Yom Tov because life doesn't stop. You know, meaning you still have to go to work, you still have all your responsibilities, and it's hard. You know, you have Sukkis and Pesach and Shavuos. The nice part is the phone is off, life comes to a halt, and I could just lose myself in the Yom Tov. Chanukah is more complicated because at the end of the day, I have to go ahead and still live in the world of Yavan, and then I have to come home and be Kaddish. I will say that's our Avodah. Our Avodah over the next, you know, we only have what's tonight? Tonight's the fifth night of Chanukah. Right? Sad. We only have 3 more days left. Right? 4 more days left, including tomorrow. Half of Chanukah is already gone. So our Avodah over this Yom Tov is to first of all acknowledge that in many respects the menorah went out, unfortunately. But our Avodah is to figure out how to relight it, to recognize that we each have that untapped potential. We each have that little cruise of oil, that pach shem amunach b'chosam shel kohen gadol. May be zochem mirtzah Hashem to find it. May be zochem mirtzah Hashem to crack open the seal. May be zochem mirtzah Hashem to pour it into our menorah. And may be zochem mirtzah Hashem to burn bright once again. Should we sing a little bit?
Oh. Yeah.
still with you, a beautiful idea. We're just singing the Paditcha Renegan two songs ago. I don't know if I've said this over in this context. I've said in other shiurim. You know, they once asked the father of Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, how did you merit to have a son like the Kedushas Levi? You know, what's the secret to raising a Kedushas Levi? Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. So his father said something amazing. You know, you would expect, you would have said, I always learned with my son. I always brought him to shul. I mean, I tried the mitzvahs. He said, let me tell you. He said, I always had an interesting custom. That in my shtender and shul, I always kept a little bit of schnapps and a little bit of mizonos. And whenever someone would come into shul who I didn't recognize, I would always offer them a little mizonos and a little l'chaim. And the Rebbe's father said that in the zechus of that chesed, of extending myself to another Jew, that's how I had a son like Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. And I was saying, we're always trying to figure out, like, what's the pathway to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's the pathway to our soul? The truth is, the pathway to God and the pathway to ourselves always leads through someone else. If we do for others, if we love each other, if we take care of each other, if we're good to each other, if we're sometimes mevatar with one another, if we're able to overlook the mistakes of the other, if we create with each other a true sense of Avas Yisrael, that's how you become Rav Levi Yitzchak. First of all, that's how you inspire your children. Children who grow up, you know, parents have a choice what they talk about in the house. They could talk about other people. They could talk about this wrong and that wrong. Or they could speak words of Avas Yisrael. If you speak words of Avas Yisrael to your children will grow up to be Ohave Yisrael. You'll inspire them. You'll inspire yourselves. That's what the Rebbe's father was teaching us. The way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paved through the other. If I'm good to you and you're good to me, if I take care of you and you take care of me, the end result is it brings us all closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halavai, we should be zocha.
Shame on. Hashem Elokeinu Nishmas Nishmas Zohrai Nishmas Nishmas Zohrai Tivonai Hashem Hashem Elokeinu
Is that what you're doing? Back the kosher blend over there? What are you doing? Rosh Chodesh songs, no?
Bro, we have another hour and a half left.
It's mamish.
It's booked through.
I still have to prepare dafyomi. So mamish, yeah. Bro. Shabbos Sunday.
Used to go try to look at Yiddishkeit a little bit, to learn people with Shulim. And the way the story goes, that it was this Rav Omiglai, they wanted to start a shir, a Gemara shir. And they wanted to, you know, get people to come. So they approached, they go, went through the names of people, some people in the shul, some people not, there's some Jewish names, so some are involved in the shul, and they would approach them. And they figured they maybe approach some people, some old people, maybe spoke Yiddish, who might have known Gemara many years ago. And said, sure, they gave him a list of names. And there was one fellow, they gave him, the old fellow that said his name is Jack, so his last name was, it's old Yid, Holocaust survivor. He comes sometimes to shul, doesn't go with him. So this Rav goes over to this Jack. So I was talking to him about the shiv. And this Jack snaps back and him, Chutzpah, are you talking to me about learning? I went to the Holocaust, my whole family was wiped out from the Nazis, and you're telling me about learning, I don't have that anymore. And he was very, very sharp to him. And this Rav kept his composure. He said, you know what? I understand, I'm sorry about it, but just do me a favor. You know, this is the first time, it was the first night, you went ahead and talked with Dan, just stay for a few minutes, and, you know, so I should like, we'll have a few people, and then said, never enough to come again, just, I said, all right. So he sat in the back, they were learning whatever stuff it was, sat in the back, and didn't say a word, he stayed for a few minutes, maybe stayed for a few minutes, then even, and he walked in. And Lamaisa, every week, this person started to come, just sitting in the back, not saying a word. And over time, they started talk, and this fellow, this man Jack mentioned that he came from town, I think it was called Kujim. And this young Arab remembered, there was a Masefa that he was learning Shiva, there was a someone named Rabbi Kujina, but he was a cousin of Ramesh Feinstein, very tzaddik. And he asked him, and he said, and his eyes lit up, he said, Rabbi Kujina, he said, I remember when I was a young boy, I remember he was a tzaddik. And this was, you know, he has a sefer that was literally used till today. I want to show it to you. I have it back in your hand. I have it in Yeshiva. I'll bring it. He said, really? Yeah. And he gets to say, finds an old sefer that, you know, he finds and writes on Sar and brings it. And the Yiddish goes over to this Jack and he shows it to him and he opens the cover and reads the name. And his eyes fill up with tears and he starts like stroking it. And he says, smile. He said, I remember when he got against love, it was a tzaddik and, you know, he was talking to war. And that really softened up a little bit. And he started talking. He said, you know, my mom remembered from Yanko. I used to be called Yanko when I was a kid. Yeah? And that basically broke the ice. And he started coming and learning a little bit. It came Charakon, and they made like a little siba. And he comes up this time, Yal comes to the kid. He comes over to him. And they had finished a couple blocks, you know, not much. And Zion goes over to the service, where fast whatever his name was, and he said, you know, I want to tell you something. He was talking in Yiddish and English and a mixture, but I think he spoke in Yiddish. He said, you know, I want to tell you, I'm not a well person. My time is short. I'm not going to be in this world, you know, much, much longer. If I go up to Shemayim, my mother's going to come to me, and she's going to say, Yaakov, what's the good thing for me? What did you do for me? And, you know, I always tell her. I said, Kaddish for you. And she would say, that's not what I'm looking for. And now he said, I'll be able to go up and tell him, yeah, Mama. He went home to block him on, and she'll be happy. And shortly after, he was passed away. So, you know, we talked about Chanukah, you know, it's something about, you know, Chanukah, anytime the Pindlik comes out, everybody, most people are very far, just, you know, it's something special to everyone. It really applies to everyone out there. The Rogan many times, it's the quid, you know, the Pindlik is there, you just have to polish it, you know, and it comes out. And you think someone is far, but it's there. You just have to bring it out.
Shklayach. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Oh.
So to end off with a verse from Rabbi Nachman, the Rebbe says that so much of the essence of Chanukah can be encapsulated in the theme of Lematam Yud. It's an interesting idea that the menorah, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos says, has to be placed Lematam Yud, should be placed less than 10 tefachim from the ground, less than 3 feet. And yet, interesting of the Gemara Masechet Sukkah says that the Shekhinah Eino Yored, Shekhinah comes down to this world, but does not go below 10 tefachim. See this incredible yisod. I'm supposed to place the menorah below 10 tefachim, and the Shekhinah only comes up until 10 tefachim. Rabbi Nachman, now there are many different ideas, but Rabbi Nachman says something so beautifully. He says that the avoda of Chanukah, is to bring the Shekhinah lamata miyud. It's to say, Ribono Sha'olam, I understand you want to stay up here, and you want me to come to you. I understand. But just like Rabbi Nachman says, sometimes if the person is such a terrible chola, a person is so sick, so the doctor has to come to the patient. The patient can't go to the doctor. Rabbi says, Ribono Sha'olam, I know that I should raise myself l'malo miyud. I should get myself higher than 10 tefachim to rendezvous with you. But sometimes I'm just so lost. Sometimes I've lost my way. I'm lamata miyud. And I just don't know how to get lamala. But in those moments, says Rabbi, you know what we do? This is amazing. Only Rabbi Nachman could say this. We grab the Shekhinah. Grab the Shekhinah. And we pull him down to us. See, Ribono Sha'olam, I'm unwilling to live without you. I know I should get my act together. I know I should get myself lamala miyud. I'll get there one day. I'm not there yet. But I'm not going to wait to have closeness with you until I get my act together. I want it now. That's Chanukah. Chanukah, the 8 days, so we take the Shekhinah that hovers at Yud. I need you so badly. I love you so much. I just want to have a chibur, a dveikus. I know you're hovering right above Yud. I'm going to pull you down to be with me. And the amazing part is that the Shekhinah lets himself be pulled down to us. Can you imagine this? The greatest entity in the entire universe that defies the universe says to us, if you love me so much that you want to bring me Lamata Miyud, even though I never go Lamata Miyud, but if you love me so much that you want me with you, I'll let myself come down to you. We should be zocha miyartz Hashem. We should be zocha to raise ourselves Lamala Miyud. But if we're not there yet, we should be zocha miyartz Hashem to drag the Shechina down right where we are. Ba'asher anusham. We should enjoy our time with him over the remaining days of Chanukah. And halavai, having him with us, Lamata Miyud, should halavai inspire us to rise Lamala Miyud.
Yes,
Yona, Yashkach to Yona and to Shoshi for hosting Erev Shabbos. Shkach to Eli, Amish, to Tovi, to everyone. Shkach.